At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Defending champs in the NBA back against the wall. Denver Nuggets down 2-0 and blown out tonight by the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is VSiN Tonight presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And that result was a very good one for the bookmakers with the T-Wolves whipping the Nuggets 106-80. And you're not used to seeing a team as respected as the Nuggets, the defending champs, getting beat up like this in two home games. But that's the reality as that series shifts back to Minnesota. And, Wes, when you look at it, the number's up for Game 3, and the T-Wolves opened 3.5. That number's already been bet up to 4.5. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it being a little bit light. It's going to flip now to Minnesota minus 4.5 and total 203.5 for Game 3. Where do you think the series goes from here? Can the Nuggets find a way to get this thing turned around? Can they get back in it?
Well, Jamal Murray's calf is going to have to get healthier, you know, and they're going to have 3 days off at least. At least you don't have to go right back at it with only a day in between and then a travel spot. But
if Jamal Murray's got a calf injury, why did he play 36 minutes?
Exactly.
Tonight? He played 36 minutes. Michael Malone left him on the court. Even when the game was out of reach, they were down about Nuggets down about 25 or 30, and he shot 3 for 18 from the floor.
Yeah. So, and look at, you know, we talked about how this was adjusted already on the zigzag and then the Gobert injury, also the situational spot. And that's probably why you had a lot of, you know, some of those sharp guys you talked to at Dom DeMarco's today, because it's at altitude on 1 day rest. So it looked like a terrible spot for the Timberwolves, but, you know, matchups are going to often overwhelm spots, and that's certainly what it did tonight. Timberwolves defense is too good. Nuggets with the Jamal Murray that is not quite 100%. Jokic is having to work harder in this series, and just the 3-point shooting has not been there for this team. This team is not that deep off the bench. They got a couple young guys in Christian Brown and Peyton Watson who are very good defenders, but not a lot of guys that are going to give you a scoring punch off the bench. So maybe I don't know if it's, they miss Bruce Brown. I mean, certainly they would like more depth, but Justin Holiday did give him 13 off the bench, but most of that was in garbage time. So I honestly don't know what the Nuggets do, because it's not like, you know, they lost two close games and they were kind of coin flippy. You know, the first game was somewhat competitive, but the Wolves took over late in the fourth quarter. But I don't know what they do, but I think Minnesota, it's no surprise. We see this every single game, whether it's NBA or NHL playoffs. Bettors are going to immediately bet what they saw last, and maybe they're just laying a number because they don't think that number is going to be there. Could come over the top. We'll see if they do that with the Nuggets.
Well, the Nuggets still being priced by, like, the better team in the series, and tonight they went off as 7-point favorites in Game 2 and got blown out by 26. Wes, even down 26 at halftime, they gained no ground in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So when the T-Wolves open 3.5, 4, at home in game three. I think some people will say that, hey, that number's light.
Yeah, and they certainly are right now. I'll wait on it and see. I wish I would have did it tonight and jumped in when maybe the number got a little bit high-ish, even though I didn't like the situation for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but that got up to 7.5. So there's nothing wrong with waiting on numbers. If they don't come and you don't bet it, okay.
I don't think I'm going to play this game three. If there is a spot where you're going to get the Nuggets A game, it should have been game two. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's got to be game three or it's series over.
Yes.
And you're not expecting the defending champs to get punked out like this.
No, this is
they got
this
3 days, like you said, 3 days to rest and regroup. Do you think we're going to see their best on Friday?
You're going to have to, or it's going to be over. But I don't know yet. I would wait if I want to take Denver, just because I think that you're going to get a better number.
All right, so the New York Knicks survived tonight, 121-117 against the Indiana Pacers. And I don't want to give the refs too much grief for how this went down, but the Knicks got a big assist from the officiating crew tonight. There was a moving screen call late in the game, West, that went against the Pacers. I thought it was a bogus call because the game was not officiated that way all night. And you don't call it that way in the final 20 seconds if you haven't officiated the other 47 and a half minutes that way. But that was just one call. There were other calls that went against the Pacers. Also, when you handicap a series like Pacers-Knicks and the games are at the Garden, you have to take into account as a handicapper that the whistle is probably going to go the Knicks' way. And it certainly did tonight. That was a big factor. I thought the Pacers outplayed the Knicks for a majority of the game.
Yeah, I did too, and I thought six was high, and that's why I ended up taking it with Indiana, just because the Knicks come off that big series against Philadelphia. Indiana was probably getting a little disrespected in the market because they beat Milwaukee without Giannis and, you know, with Lillard missing a couple games as well. So they weren't going to get any respect. And I thought that that number was high. And I thought the Pacers were the better team for the most part tonight. And, you know, the concern, I guess, if you want to say you have concern for the Knicks, is how many minutes those starters are playing. But we know that's what Tom Thibodeau did in Chicago, and that's what he's going to continue to do to New York. The fact that he doesn't count on those guys. But one thing for the Pacers, though, Tyrese Haliburton's going to have to give you something. I know that he's maybe not quite 100% now, but you got to give more than 6 points, and you got to be aggressive, and you can't defer to Andrew Nembhard in the fourth quarter. As well as Nembhard played and gave you, you know, really good minutes, but you can't do that. I thought the team, especially that bench, especially T.J. McConnell, Obi Toppin, those guys were covering for Tyrese tonight.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You know, he's the guy that, you know, stirs the drink on offense, whether it's scoring or just moving the basketball. But, you know, seemed to be like afraid to drive to the basket, seems to be relying on a lot more threes. He only took like 6 shots tonight.
I thought Haliburton was off in the series against the Bucks too. And that's another reason I thought, well, the Knicks got a big edge here with the stars. If you talk about Haliburton and Jalen Brunson on the other side for New York, I don't know how you explain in 36 minutes that Tyrese Haliburton takes 6 shots, 2 for 6. Now, we have to give Jalen Brunson his due, and he deserves a lot of credit for how he played tonight. The Villanova big three, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, those guys were huge in the fourth quarter to help lift Knicks to the win. I don't want to say it's all about the officials, because the Knicks big three made the plays too, and Brunson made all 14 of his free throws, finished with 43 points. When the Knicks needed a star to carry them in the fourth quarter, he was that guy.
Yes, he was. And, the Pacers, look, they got some bad calls, but, I mean, it wasn't the Knicks' fault. They were right there basically the entire game. I think the largest lead, the Pacers did get a 9-point lead in the middle of the third quarter, largely due to T.J. McConnell, who continues to be outstanding in the playoffs for this team. Pacers hit 10 threes, Knicks hit 11. Knicks out-rebounded them 40-32. That's going to be a constant theme, though. Pacers, not a very good rebounding team. Knicks, arguably the best rebounding team in the league. Knicks did turn it over 15 times, and Pacers weren't quite able to capitalize on that. But the pace, and I think the score of the game, favors Indiana if this is going to be like this. But you know, you got to have some more out of Tyrese Haliburton. I thought Miles Turner was terrific tonight, and that's what's going to be interesting to see how the Knicks defend is because they're going to have to go out there with Miles Turner. You can't let him shoot threes because he can bury them on you. So, you know, Hartenstein and Robinson just can't, you know, do that drop coverage where they just hang at the rim and let Turner shoot all the time from the outside.
Miles Turner was the one called for the moving screen. What was there, about 20 seconds left?
12 seconds left.
He was called for the moving screen. That was a bogus call.
Dante DiVincenzo, man.
Flopped. He flopped.
The best Italian actor, what, since Pacino, De Niro? Yeah. That was Pacino and De Niro-esque performance
drama.
That was
an acting job. Yes. You know, it's inexcusable for the officiating crew to go for that at that point and blow the whistle because you have not been calling that the entire game. You don't call it with 12 seconds.
There's actually an instance they didn't call it on Jalen Brunson earlier in the quarter. And, you know, it felt very, very selective.
Well, it reminds me of and I talked about this earlier, the Iowa-UConn women's game in the Final Four.
Yeah.
When Iowa was setting moving screens all night for Caitlin Clark on the offensive end of the floor, not one was called the entire night. And then a moving screen was called on UConn in the final 20 seconds of the game, and that helped decide the game and give the Hawkeyes a win. You can't call that in the final 20 seconds when you haven't called it all night.
Well, they didn't call it with 55 seconds left either. It was on DiVincenzo. He had a moving screen. Neesmith actually stole the ball with his hands, and they called a kickball violation. But yet they couldn't review that. So I don't know what's challengeable or reviewable now in the NBA because, you know, they should have absolutely reviewed that, and then Miles Turner 40 seconds later gets called for the same thing.
From a betting perspective, the Pacers were the right side, getting six, so you got the money there. You took the Pacers on the points, right?
Yes.
How about the total? It was 217. It flies over. 238 total points, 121, 117. The Pacers won a faster pace.
And honestly, you know, even though they're playing their starters so many minutes, the Knicks can score.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks can absolutely score at that pace. And when you got Brunson, when you got a dominant guard like that, you can score. So it's not like the Knicks are, you know, beating the ball into the floor and trying to run it down to the end of the shot clock and get a shot. They got up-tempo guys, too, and they have some athleticism. OG Anunoby is a very good rim runner. Josh Hart certainly can do that as well. So I don't think that's a pace the Knicks want, but I think that they have guys that can play that pace.
Villanova big three. Brunson had 43, DiVincenzo 25, and Hart 24.
Yeah, 92 points between those guys. That's usually going to get it done for you. Pacers, by the way, what was it? I believe it was 46-3 bench scoring tonight.
Bench points, yeah.
Yes.
Tibbs is not going to use his reserves.
No. Like he'll use
down.
Robinson and Achiuwa when Hartenstein gets in foul trouble, but McBride really didn't give him very much
Quick
tonight.
Quick question, Wes. Where does the series go from here? Do you still feel like the Pacers can make this a long series?
I absolutely do. 100%.
All right, quick break here on VSiN tonight. We come back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We'll take a look at the top games and the best bets on the Tuesday card. Stay tuned to the Sports Betting Network.
is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Great time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. It's your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies for a limited time. You can get our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally $240. Get it now for just $199. Sign up today. You get an extra 2 months for free. 14 months VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. Use promo code TONIGHT when you register. With VSiN Pro, you get instant access to the daily best bets. 19 hours of live programming on VSiN. The betting splits page up at VSiN.com and all the articles and content up on the website. VSiN.com/subscribe. To claim your 14 months of pro access for $199. The promo code is TONIGHT. VSIN.com/subscribe. Promo code TONIGHT. Tonight, the Dodgers were big favorites, minus 340 at DraftKings. Walker Buehler made his first appearance in about a year and a half. Buehler and the Dodgers win that game 6-3 over the total of 8.5. And we'll talk a little baseball as we take a look at the top games and the best bets on the Tuesday card.
This is VSiN's Daily Morning Bets. Here's your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, the tipping off point here for us is going to be the NBA. As usual, we got two games in the association on Tuesday as a couple series get underway. And Wes, let's go ahead and start it in the Western Conference. Dallas and OKC. A Thunder 3.5-point favorites, total of 218. And what do you expect to see between the Mavericks and the Thunder?
Very competitive series, I would say. I think this has the chance, I would say, probably to go the distance here between these two teams. Look, I don't want to get in front of the Thunder necessarily, even though this is a big step up in class for them. I felt that they had like a tailor-made, really easy opponent for them with New Orleans, just did not have any firepower, you know, and that's what you're going to look at. You can trust this team's defense, and they get a lot of points off turnovers, but can they make shots? They actually, you know, led in three-point percentage there in the first round, but the Mavs defense has dramatically improved. You know, I think the defense is for real with these guys, but in terms of tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I think Thunder and 6 or Thunder and 7 is probably the way you want to play this for a series price. If I'm looking at a prop, a guy that I think could have a very good series is a guy that Dallas went ahead and acquired at the trade deadline. Maybe look at PJ Washington tomorrow in his over points. Over 10.5 points. I think he's over 1.5 3-point makes. You might have to lay $1.30, $1.40. That's probably the way I'm going to play this one.
You know, in these NBA playoff games, I look at a lot of the sports books and how they report betting action on the props. The star players tend to get bet over.
Mm-hmm.
They get a majority of the public action. Always over. Over for all the stars.
Yeah, and
it's going to be that way with Luka Doncic in this series for the Mavericks.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, with that too. Look, if you bet Jokic's overs tonight, you didn't get there. Oh. So you know, be willing to bet unders, you know, because I see a lot of people, they're always betting overs on props, even though I just talked about one. But that's not a star player there in PJ Washington.
I don't think I'm going to bet game one of the series. I'll see what happens in game one, and then probably react and jump in on game two in Dallas and OKC. Cleveland and Boston, I wonder if the best way to play this series is to think, hey, you know, the Celtics tend to fall asleep at the wheel sometimes. The Cavs with Donovan Mitchell might be good enough to get a game or two. If they can get two, how about this at DraftKings? If you want to pick the exact result and pick the Celtics in six, you can get Cleveland at plus 450 if you want to go that way. I think the value is here to hope the Cavs can get two games in the series. The Celtics win it in six, and you get a plus 450 on that. Now, the Celtics are 11.5-point favorites in game one, total 208.5. The Cavs are off a rough series. I would not expect the Cavs coming off of game seven to get game one in Boston here. But what about, Wes, what about the side and the total when you look at the first game between Cleveland and Boston?
Well, and look, the trends aren't very friendly for J.B. Bickerstaff either. 0-9 straight up, 1-8 against the spread on the road in the playoffs. 1-11 straight up, 2-10 against the spread as an underdog. That being said, the Celtics are not a team I necessarily want to lay spreads with game to game because they'll play with their food a little bit. 10 and 15 against the number after a playoff win by more than 10 points in recent years. So this is a team that you never know when they're going to lay kind of an egg here. And you know, maybe it could be game one. I definitely don't want to be betting the Cavs here because I think, like you said, coming off of game seven with only one day in between of rest, even though that didn't hurt the Boston Bruins tonight on the ice against the Florida Panthers, but nothing for me on the side here at all. If anything, maybe a small lean to the under at 209.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play anything in game one. A lot of times I like to sit out game one of a series, and then you find better spots to jump in. All right, let's go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, you know, in the NBA, the defending champs are backed against the wall. In the NHL, the defending champs are out. Vegas Golden Knights got beat in game seven by the Dallas Stars. Wes, Tuesday night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Dallas Stars again at home, minus 125 favorites against Colorado Avalanche. Avalanche have a little bit more rest here, and the Stars coming out off that emotional game seven. I think the situation's better for the dog. Total is six.
Colorado, by the way, has had like a full week of rest here and you know, get back to business against Dallas. You had to rally from 2-0 down against the Golden Knights and win a game seven. Colorado does in the past, though, they've had a tendency to be a little sloppy when they've had a lot of extra rest. 5-on-5, they've been absolutely deadly so far in the playoffs. And, you know, guys that put up very big numbers. And then Dallas, Jake Oettinger, I think, was getting dialed in. His goals against average, 195 against the Knights, 925 save percentage, 2.5 goal save above expected. Dallas was the better team in the 5-on-5 against the Golden Knights. Wyatt Johnson has really emerged as the star. Got a couple injuries, a couple guys that are day-to-day. Mason Marchment, Yanni Hakanpaa are both day-to-day here a little bit. So, small lean to the under six here. Nothing really on the side because I do worry Colorado can get a little sloppy in terms of, you know, with the time off, even though they certainly have the better situational spot here against Dallas.
A lot of rest. Sometimes that could be a negative, but if anything here, I'd play the rested dog. That's Colorado plus 110. If I play it, that's going to be what I play. How about Carolina and New York Rangers? And Rangers up a game, and they are home dogs here. Carolina minus 122, total 5.5.
Yeah, high-scoring affair in game one. 4-3, Rangers hold on against the Carolina Hurricanes. But I think maybe you're looking at an under here at 5.5. Shesterkin has been awesome for the Blue Shirts here. He's allowed two or fewer goals in five of his last seven starts. 936 save percentage, 1.7 GAA. Rangers have dominated Carolina with Shesterkin and net at least over the last couple of years. Meanwhile, Freddie Anderson, ever since he's returned over the last 16 games, 13-3, 932 save percentage, 178 GAA. Five or fewer goals scored in 10 of those 16 outings since Freddie Anderson's return. So got a high-scoring game there in game one. I think it reserts to form here. I like the under at 5.5.
All right, let's go to baseball. And who's been better than Shota Imanaga, the left-handed pitcher from Japan for the Chicago Cubs? And he is 5-0 over 34 and two-thirds innings. Imanaga has allowed only two homers, struck out 35. He's got a whip of 0.75 and an ERA of 0.78. So Imanaga and the Cubs at home against the Padres at Wrigley Field on Tuesday. And I see one number out there on the game right now, and that's at DraftKings, Cubs minus 148, a little bit higher than what I was hoping here. Vasquez is going to get the start for the Padres. Cubs bullpen blew up in the first game of this series on Monday. Imanaga, the lefty, 148. The price is a little bit high. I'm not going to say the price is right, but I like that side.
Yeah, I would lean that way too. Look, first-time lefties, I don't care who they are. It's not as pronounced anymore because the pitcher hits or doesn't hit anymore, but first-time lefties, especially in the National League, have been very good bets on. So would lean Cubs here, but I think it's priced in how well Imanaga's doing.
First time through the league, nobody's been able to hit Imanaga, really. And like you said, that's priced into the number. So I think the odds makers catching up to how good that lefty has been for the Cubs. Wes, I know there was a game you wanted to talk about quickly, and That is the Toronto-Philly game with Blue Jays minus 135, total of 8.
Well, if there's a regression candidate that I'm looking at tomorrow, it could be Jose Berríos. 144 ERA, but a 424 on the xFIP. The batting average balls in play, 229. Phillies are absolutely raking right now against everybody now. 24-11, they get a big win over San Francisco today. If you don't want to lay the money line here, about 130, I'm seeing market-wide, either play could play the over 8, banking on Berríos regression, or play Berríos is under like recorded outs or under strikeouts. That'd be the way I'd attack this one.
All right, Justin Verlander and the Astros are in the Bronx. Astros are slumping. Verlander beat the Yankees. We'll talk more baseball betting when we come back here in a couple minutes on VSiN tonight.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So last week on the show, Matt Grohl of DraftKings joined us. We talked about the college football games of the year. Those numbers were put up at DraftKings a week ago. Adam Burke rounds them up, and you can check out his story at vsin.com. You're going to get best bets, betting splits, all sorts of handicapping articles and analysis on vsin.com. And I kind of give Matt Grohl and DraftKings some credit for putting those numbers up early, Wes. You're talking about the first week of May and the end of April. DraftKings has got week zero, week one, college football games of the year, and regular season win totals on about 70 teams. That's the earliest I've ever seen those college football numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Grohl and the DraftKings crew getting those up last week, and Grohl joined us on the show. Check out Adam Burke's story up at vsin.com. All right, let's. What's up?
Well, I wanted to. I know we're doing baseball this segment, but I wanted to start off with one little NBA nugget. This is a kind of a notable trend over recent years. At HP Basketball on Twitter, it's Hardwood Paroxysm, or Paroxysm. I butchered that pronunciation, but anyway, at HP Basketball on the X, teams up 2-0 after starting out on the road, which the Minnesota Timberwolves obviously have done tonight. Are 11-2 in the semifinals and 36-5 overall in the NBA playoffs.
Well, I mean, that's not surprising.
It's not, but you know, for those of you know, we were trying to say, hey, can we find a way for the Nuggets to get back in this series? History says no.
Well, if a team is going to fight its way back, it's a team with Jokic, who's been the best player in the league the last 2 years, and the defending champs. But I don't see it happening right now. But then again, when everybody tends to see it, almost everyone tends to see it one way. You got to be careful because they can flip the script when they go back to Minnesota. That's what the Dallas Stars did to the Vegas Golden Knights. When the Knights went up 2-0 on the road in the first round in the Stanley Cup playoffs here in the past 2 weeks. All right, back to baseball. And Wes, we'll go ahead and start in Cincinnati. Your Reds are sliding a little bit here, but Frankie Montas is a home dog on Tuesday against Zach Gallen and the D-backs. DraftKings has got the D-backs minus 130, and that's strictly based on Gallen's pitching edge here against Montas, because the D-backs not playing great baseball right now either. What's your take here? Would you be interested in Montas, who's off of a rough outing, and the Reds are plus 110 or a little bit higher? I think you get maybe plus 115 right now in the Reds.
Yeah, Reds got swept at home by Baltimore, and not even competitive over the weekend, so... Yeah, this team is very much cooled off, and David Bell's got to figure it out with these guys. Zach Gallen not putting his exactly his Cy Young numbers up necessarily, his Cy Young candidacy numbers, I should say. But 3-2 in his first six starts, 338 on the ERA, 317 on the xFIP. So, you know, has been, I think, relatively solid, but... Eesh, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to get involved with the Reds here. I need to see them win a game. They've really fallen off hard times here. They were getting red hot, and then now they've lost five in a row. So this is a pass for me.
Yeah, D-backs are kind of slumping too. They've dropped 7 of their past 10, not playing great baseball. So yeah, I didn't like what I saw from Frankie Montas in the last start. I don't think I would back the Reds here either. Rough weekend for the Reds.
Yeah.
But Reds plus 115 at home. That's Gallen against Montas. I might play the Cubs. I'm seeing minus 142 out there on Shota Imanaga, the lefty for the Cubs against the Padres at Wrigley in game two of that series. But I want to move on to a different game in the American League. Justin Verlander and the Astros against the Yankees, and this is in the Bronx. I'm seeing anywhere from minus 115 to 120 on the Yankees. And Luis Gill getting the start for the Yankees in this one. And Wes, we talked about him a little bit last week. He started six games for the Yankees, a little bit under the radar, but really good numbers. 31 innings, 40 strikeouts, a 1.19 whip, and a 3.19 ERA for Luis Gill, the right-hander. And he's going up against Justin Verlander, whose results so far have been pretty respectable for the Astros. But this Astros team, 12-22 through 34 games.
Yeah, I thought maybe that series win against Colorado down in Mexico City. I know it's Colorado. Might spur them on a little bit, and plus the fact that you have Verlander back and you have Valdez back, and took the series from the Guardians, so I thought that momentum was going to carry over against the very poor hitting Seattle Mariners, and that the Mariners take two of three, including the last two over Houston. Yeah, Verlander's been okay. He's not really striking out a lot of guys, about averaging about 6.75 per nine innings. The ERA is 2.08, but the xFIP is 4.72. You know, has kind of gotten himself out of jams and gotten a little bit fortunate. I'd look to the over here. I think maybe the Astros bats finally getting away on the road and getting in a hitter-friendly ballpark could certainly help here. And then I do think Verlander's going to have some regression, so I'd look to the over 8 here.
Luis Gill for the Yankees, his last two home starts, 10 innings. He's allowed a total of 2 earned runs with 17 strikeouts. But he has been a little bit wild. He walked 7 in those.
That's the thing, and that's why most outings, except yeah. I didn't do it the last one, I've been betting under the 15.5 recorded outs for Gill, thinking, okay, he's 5-inning pitcher, you know, tops here, because he's been wild and because he has been walking guys. I think I'm looking at his numbers here. 5.81 walks per 9 innings. Not going to be sustainable.
He had 7 walks in one start, so the number's a little bit inflated. But, yeah, that's one negative for him. I'm not sure if I'd play that game. But you say over the total of 8?
Over 8 would be where I'd look.
All right, what do you think of the Astros? Is there a point where they're going to get this? They still got to – I still feel like there's a chance for this team to get things turned around, because baseball is a marathon, and 34 games into it, still a short sample. And yeah, there's a lot you don't like so far, but I'm going to still give the Astros a shot to turn this.
Well, I'll say one mistake they made was signing Josh Hader to that big contract.
Oh, I hated that move. In fact, when Hader was with the Padres, I said, I'm not sure this guy's got anything left.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got much left. Why did the Astros do that?
Yeah, I don't know either, because I thought Ryan Pressly was fine as their closer. Sunday, I know, against the Mariners, they took a one-run lead. Mariners had led most of the game. Then Abreu, who's like one of their setup guys, gives up the tying run, and Josh Hader gets taken deep by Cal Raleigh, who can't hit a beach ball right now. But he was able to hit Josh Hader with that fastball down and in on Sunday. And, I don't know why they made that move. I felt that the bullpen was relatively fine with those guys and their setup guys. But Astros, look, they're not hitting right now, and then their closer has some problems. And their staff has been injured. Their starting pitching staff has been injured. Verlander just got back. Valdez just got back. We'll see when Urquidy gets back. But you don't want to be throwing Hunter Brown out there very, very many more starts. He's been dreadful this year.
I wouldn't want to throw Josh Hader out there in very many more closing opportunities.
No.
All right, let's talk about the Seattle Mariners. Interesting case. They're 19-16, and when you look at some of the offensive numbers, I don't know how this team's 3 games over 500.
Mm-hmm.
Astros are in Minnesota to face the Twins, who are minus 142, home favorites at DraftKings, total of 8. Wes, you and I were talking about the Mariners. I think a lot of people know Julio Rodriguez is off to a rough start. He's had 138 at-bats, 1 home run. That's it. 44 strikeouts. He's batting .254. If you look at some of the other batting averages in this Mariners lineup, 195, 214, 248, 206, 160. This offense has been pathetic for Seattle.
Mariners struck out 14 times tonight. 8 from Simeon Woods Richardson, who gets 8 strikeouts in 6 innings for the Twins. This team's absolutely not hitting right now. And meanwhile, the Minnesota Twins, I know that their win streak, that long win streak, got stopped over the weekend, but they rebound tonight, and they're 9-1 over their last 10 games. So now they are right back in it in the Central, still 2.5 back at the Guardians. You've got to win tonight over Detroit. But
if you look at the Mariners' offensive numbers, Wes, and the way the Twins have been playing recently, you would say, well, -135, which is the low I see out here in the market, might be cheap on the Twins.
Well, I don't want to take the Mariners until they start hitting. The pitching has been outstanding. Look, Luis Castillo, another very good outing tonight, quality start, and they just don't give him any run support. He's not getting Bryce Miller. Like, their staff has been very solid so far to start this year. Hancock, back end of the rotation guy, not a guy that necessarily goes that deep in game. So this is either Twins or nothing for me, and more than likely nothing.
Emerson Hancock does not have especially impressive numbers. I do want to just mention this one more time about Julio Rodriguez, because it's startling for a guy who looked like he was on the verge of becoming a superstar. At this point, he's got 138 at-bats. He's got one homer. He's struck out 44 times, and he's only walked 7 times.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how bad those numbers are.
None of these guys are hitting. Haniger, Raleigh, Ty France, Mitch Garver, none of these guys are hitting this year. And somehow, some way, they're first in the AL West.
Did you see the Tom Brady roast last night?
I did not.
Okay.
But I heard about it.
That's some good jokes in there. We'll talk a little bit about it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
That, and also golf betting as we wrap up the show. We got a big-time golf event this week, and we're 1 week away from the major, the second major of the year, the PGA.
VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the association. All the way through the NBA Finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds boost, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets. That's code BSIN, only on DraftKings. Wes, how about Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat saying if he were healthy, the Heat would have knocked out the Celtics and the Knicks in the playoffs?
And how about Pat Riley telling him to shut the hell up?
Yeah, well, he should shut up. I mean, you're not healthy. You weren't healthy in the round against the Celtics. And you have no proof that you would have knocked out the Celtics and the Knicks if you were healthy. The one thing that bothers me is about some of the players who practice load management the entire season and can't stay healthy for one playoff series is that these guys are also up for max contract extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And would you give a max contract to a guy whose availability is constantly going to be in question?
No, I would not. And by the way, the full quote from Pat Riley today, who did his postseason media availability that he always does for the media down there in Miami, goes, for him to say that, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? And then he said, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or you're not on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
Well said, Pat Riley.
Yeah, look, and he's absolutely right. Look, Pat Riley's won 9 championship rings in his career. Pat Riley was willing to tell, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, and he's going to go down as that, LeBron James, to you know what off when he initially wanted Eric Spoelstra fired. He's like, no, this guy's the coach. You know where to go. So Pat Riley gives less than zero.
By the way,
Jimmy
Butler can't troll the Celtics and the Knicks because he'd have been knocked out.
Right.
How are you going to troll?
Right.
Talking smack and you got nothing to back it up. Anyway, last night there was a lot of talk during the Tom Brady roast on Netflix. Did you happen to catch any of this? Because I saw some of the highlights and I read some of the jokes online. I didn't watch it live, but I watched, a highlight reel of jokes. Nikki Glaser. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with her?
Who is very funny, by the way. I have
hilarious.
Seen her act.
She was hilarious. She had some of the best jokes of the night. And if you get a chance, at least go online and Google search that and read some of the jokes or watch some of the highlights from that last night. There were some really good lines in there. During that roast, anyway, what's relevant to us is that Peyton Manning revealed to Bill Belichick is going to be part of that Manning cast this year on the Monday night games. And it's going to be Eli, Peyton, Bill Belichick's going to be part of that. Belichick's going to be doing some studio analysis, I guess, right? He's not going to be in the booth for games, NFL games. I believe a studio analyst. But I think it's going to be good for Belichick to sit out a year, kind of hit the reset button and come back. Because if he had, for some reason, been hired as the coach of the Falcons – and they had to work with that dope Terry Fontenot, the GM, that would not have worked out well.
Yeah. Look, and Belichick, I think he's probably going to have some fun with Peyton and Eli. I think he's doing a Monday appearance on
it's gonna be great to watch on
McAfee's show as well. But speaking of Eli Manning, this from Eli Manning on the X on the Twitter tonight. I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time.
I saw that.
Very good line from Eli. He should have been bit at the roast to deliver that line. But yeah, I did not see the roast. I saw some of the clips. I saw Kim Kardashian get booed at the roast.
My question is, why was she even there?
I don't know. Apparently, were there Page Six rumors that they were canoodling? That's what the New York Post likes to use on Page Six at one point. But I got to be honest with you, because somebody asked me, why didn't you watch the Tom Brady roast? It's like, I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan and former season ticket holder. I had about enough of Tom Brady. So the less I have to watch of him as possible is good, even though I'm going to have to see him a whole lot in the Fox booth upcoming this season.
Peyton Manning had a good joke last night. I thought there were a lot of good jokes came out of it, but Nikki Glaser was a star.
Nikki Glaser is a very star. Funny comedian.
And actually, I guess she was on the Howard Stern show.
Yes.
Today and said told some of the jokes that did not air that were a little bit too rude or crude to even tell during the roast. And she had some good stuff.
Yeah, she is, I believe, going on the – I don't know if it's on the road or just doing shows here in Vegas, but I believe going to be performing at the Venetian here in Las Vegas very soon with David Spade.
I would like to see Belichick sit out a year, come back, and if the Cowboys flop like I think they're going to in 2024 – and again, failed to win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Belichick take over in Dallas. Jerry Jones is running out of time, man. Who's he going to hire? I think you got to go after Belichick after a year off.
Yeah, look.
That's going to be my long shot, bold prediction.
Well, that's
Belichick's
where
the coach of the Dallas
I agree
Cowboys
with you on that prediction.
Because
Bill Belichick, that's a chance to do something that his mentor couldn't do, Bill Parcells. Get them to a Super Bowl. And, the fact that he's still within striking distance of Papa Bear's all-time wins, or Don Shula, rather, his all-time wins record. Papa Bear is the one in between those two right now. But yeah, he absolutely wants to set that record, no question about it. And I think wants one more run at a championship.
One year off, and then you got one more run for Belichick. Hopefully that's what happens. All right, Wes, let's wrap it up here with golf. And you're going to have your column up at vsin.com on Tuesday. We got the Wells Fargo this week. What sort of player do you think profiles as the potential winner a week before the PGA Championship?
Yeah, when I was running my stats today, obviously approach going to be very important, particularly from 175 and out in terms of your iron shots. 55% of those approaches come from 175 or longer, so that's where you're looking at proximity gained, 175 to 200 or at 200+. So would look at that. Driving distance has also been important here. The fairways aren't really that are fairly wide here. You can really grip it and rip it. It's a par 71, 75, 58. So you don't have to be a bomber, but it certainly helps here. Every single winner since 2014, with the exception of James Hahn, was ranked in the top 15 in driving distance in their last 36 rounds leading to the tournament. So probably want to go a little bomber heavy on your card this week. Scrambling, very important here. Clark was second in scrambling during his winning week last year. 2021, Rory led the field in scrambling that week. So a lot of, you know, you're going to have to be a little bit good, I think, around the green here, because the greens are kind of difficult. So the chipping and pitching can be a little bit difficult because you got those false fronts. You got the shaved runoff areas as well. Putting, this is going to be, these are Bermuda greens, but with the Poitrev overseed, because the Bermuda is kind of dormant this time of year. It's still cool down in Charlotte in May. Summertime, it'll heat up for the Bermuda. And then three-putt avoidance. The three-putt rate, by the way, at Quail Hollow is one of the highest on the PGA Tour at about a little less than 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty damn high when you look on the PGA Tour. Bogey avoidance, also looked at strokes gained par fives here. So did all my modeling, got to do my selections tonight and tomorrow morning.
All right, let me throw a name at you, and I have not bet this guy. I have not bet this player since last year's U.S. Open, and he was so bad in that major, and I was so aggravated by it, I haven't bet him since. Well, I'm looking for guys with a positive track record on this course and some guys who fit the profile of what you were just talking about. Max Homa? Does he fit the profile?
Well, he's won here before.
I know he has.
Certainly in 2022.
He's been kind of quiet this year. Could this be a breakout week for Max Homa? This is the type of course where he could reemerge.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know if he's going to make my card. He showed up on a couple of those stats that I mentioned, kind of in the top 10 or 15 on those stats. But, you know, I'm looking around here, Matt, and seeing what I may end up doing with this event. Wyndham Clark, I wish he was like 20-1. I would go maybe back on him again. Yeah, he hit for me earlier this year at Pebble Beach. In terms of guys, Justin Thomas, maybe.
I've got him next week, by the way.
Yeah, I think Justin, PGA. This is around the time where he starts to show something here. And Justin Thomas, by the way, has won on this course. Did not win the Wells Fargo. He won the PGA Championship that year. That was his first major in 2017, then did it at Southern Hills a couple of years ago. So Justin Thomas may make the card.
Guess what? Next week at the PGA, that's a home game for Justin Thomas at Valhalla in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so look, I think JT is going to end up being on my card this week. A couple other guys I was looking at. I hate to do it again.
Save it for Tuesday.
I hate to do it again. Cameron Young.
I knew you were going to do Cameron Young. You can't bet Rory because he's a plus 650, and you're not going to do that. But Cameron Young down there at about 30-1?
Yeah. Yeah, Cameron Young would be one I would look at. Maybe Will Zalatoris, who took, by the way, last week off in Dallas to rest up. He could be another one. And then, by the way, we do have the alternate event, the Myrtle Beach Classic, this week, which I will also be riding.
Plenty more golf betting talk on the Tuesday night show. Make sure you tune in to VSiN tonight. Thanks to Johnny Avello of DraftKings for joining us on a Monday night. Stay tuned. Mitch Moss, Paul Howard, Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.